My dear brothers and sisters, this great solemnity of all the saints is always a joy for me because people so often ask me this most difficult of questions. They say, Father Joseph, who's your favorite saint? Well, and of course, I say, well, how can anyone compare to the Blessed Mother? But then there's St. Joseph. And then there's St. Francis of Assisi. Well, then there's St. Thomas More. Then there's, and the list goes on and on and on. And I really haven't answered the question, have I? Because I start this whole long list. And once a year, Mother Church gives us the feast of all the saints. So we don't have to choose. We can celebrate all of them. But the other thing that this solemnity does is reminds us a saint is someone who is alive in the grace of God. St. Paul would write to other communities of Christians at his time and say, greet the saints for me. Anyone in the state of grace is a saint. And so today is a reminder that though Holy Mother Church seems to have canonized a lot of people, and what a great blessing for our nation that just today we had the beatification of Father Michael McGivney, blessed Michael McGivney now as of today, the founder of the Knights of Columbus. He adds another one to our group of American saints. But it seems that Mother Church is canonizing and beatifying people left and right. But this feast reminds us that we know by name only a fraction of those who are rejoicing around the throne of God in heaven. And today we're able to honor all those saints who haven't been canonized and who won't be canonized, but nonetheless are around the throne of God in glory. And a reminder that that's where we belong. That is our call. Now, I know whenever I tell the kids that they're to, before they brush their teeth in the morning, they're to look into that mirror and they're supposed to say, this face plus God's grace makes a saint. They're supposed to remember that every day. But sometimes I know when they think about it, and maybe even when we adults think about it, there's a certain heaviness. Oof, I'm supposed to be a saint. Oh, that's asking too much of me, Lord. That's too much. Now, when we remember that ultimately there are only two destinations, heaven and hell, and that everyone is in heaven is a saint, do you really want to say, oh, I don't want to be a saint? No, because you don't want to land in the other spot, do you? But rather than this heaviness of, oh, I have to do more for God, I have to stretch, I have to become better, I have to become a saint, and look at it as this onerous task that we really wish hadn't been thrust upon us. Think of what St. John writes in today's second reading. See what love God has bestowed upon us in calling us his children. See what love God has bestowed upon us in calling us his children. See what love God has bestowed upon us in calling us his saints. That's right. The call to holiness is a gift of love. The call to holiness is a privilege that you and I have a reserved spot in heaven. I mean, we think it's pretty nifty if I get a reserved spot at church at the time I want to be at Mass. But think about what it is to have a reserved place in heaven. This is no burden. This is no heavy task. This is the greatest of joys. This is a beautiful gift. And only our small-mindedness and our hard-heartedness could take such a magnificent gift and turn it around and make it look like God is being hard and demanding. No. No. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá said so beautifully, and we have it inscribed in the cafeteria of the school, "I am asked for very little in comparison for what I have been given." Think of all the Lord has given us. He's given us life. He's given us every blessing, every joy we've ever had is a sign of his love for us. And so, really, do we think that following the Ten Commandments is such a heavy price to pay for every single gift we've ever received? Really, do we think growing in faith, hope, and charity is too much to pay for eternal life in the fullness of God's love? No. This is not heavy. This is a gift beyond our imagining. Which is why perhaps we don't take the gift seriously. We think it's too good to be true. No. It's real. God is calling us to himself. On Halloween, All Hallows' Eve, I always think of a little boy I met a number of years ago in Lourdes. He was 8 years old, but he hadn't yet made his first Holy Communion because he'd spent the entire previous year in the hospital fighting a very terrible cancer. And he had just gotten well enough for his family to bring him to Lourdes to pray for healing. He'd already had a double amputation of both of his legs, but he was eager to show me how well he could walk with his artificial limbs. And after he got home, he got some bad news that, in fact, the cancer was getting worse rather than getting better. The family wasn't bitter. They didn't see this somehow as a sign that their prayers had failed. Maybe that was the miracle of Lourdes, as it gave them peace in their hearts, despite what a heavy cross this was. But as he came up on Halloween, little Peyton, at 8 years old, had a very understandable wish. He wanted to get more candy than his sister. And every year, apparently, she was cuter, and she got more candy. So this Halloween, everyone who had been on this pilgrimage in Lourdes a couple of months earlier decided we're all going to send candy to Peyton. And that little 8-year-old ended up with 200 pounds of candy. And what did he want to do? He said, "Mommy, can we call all the neighborhood children and share with them?" That's what he wanted to do. So I want you to see how sometimes the human heart has selfish desires. But sometimes, even in our selfishness, God blesses us with such an abundance that we can't even contain what God offers us. And that should prompt us to generosity. That you and I have been treated so generously by God, can't we be generous too? Generous to the Lord with thanksgiving, with spending time in prayer, with saying, yes, I want to follow the commandments, instead of doing it begrudgingly. Yes, I want to be a saint because I want to dwell in union with you because you love me so abundantly. And to be generous with one another, to show to one another the same patience, the same compassion, the same forgiveness that God so abundantly grants to each one of us. My dear brothers and sisters, if we had to simplify, and it is simple, the difference between the path of being a saint and the path of being a sinner, we would simply say this: sin is always selfish, and love and holiness is always self-gift. And so there it is. The path to becoming a saint is to ask for the grace and to use our free will to choose at each opportunity to give of ourselves generously in love instead of to live in selfishness. You know, every year when the Christmas carol is performed, you and I see Ebenezer Scrooge and we go, oh, what an ugly life that is. What a hard, unhappy man that is, because he gives himself entirely to selfishness. But every time you or I choose to sin, we allow that same ugliness to cloud the beauty of who we are as God's children. So let's be saints. Let's live generous lives. Let's rejoice in the blessings God offers and realize how little he asks of us in return. May Blessed Father Michael McGivney assist us that we too might achieve that place which is already reserved for us aside the throne of God in heaven.